negotiations. negotiation be tapped since we're in office.
Let me ask you about the Lavelle. How do you think that ought to be handled at this point? I just hate to see this on the ground made a go. And, as you know, we've now just left it up to defense. They're not been there. What's your reaction to it?
I have asked defense to give me a rundown on all the unauthorized attacks in the past that haven't done it yet. I'd like to see if that's what he did. If what he was doing was attacking radar sites, that he would have had a right to attack had they locked in on him. Then he was just moving up the point of attack a bit. If what he was doing was attacking targets that were never authorized, then I think we ought to be very tough on him. Because they're getting him on two separate charges, only one of which is correct. One is, the argument is made that we often use the phrase protective reaction when it was a pre-planned attack. Well, we never fooled anybody with that. That was a signal to Hanoi that this was a short term.
He used to tell there a broad liberal protective reaction, and also the idea that if they had been able to knock off, go back and get it later. That's protective reaction.
But also sometimes when we did these 3-day strikes, we called it protective reaction.
Yes.
Just to make clear that we weren't resuming the bombing of the North. When we were hitting Vin and so forth last December, that was not protective reaction in the strict sense. That was a punishment for their acts. And that has to be made clear here.
Well, the thing is, you and I know that we told Eric, maybe I just don't want, frankly, Henry, I don't feel right about our pushing him into this thing.
I don't think that Lavelle was pushed into it by us. I think really Lavelle did it on an unauthorized basis.
You do?
Yes. And I think in any event, you should stay out of it, Mr. President.
Well, I suppose they figured that Lavelle is just another card. I don't know. I don't think that Lavelle and ITT, and unfortunately this is a part of the reason the Moscow thing is tried these goddamn liberals up the wall. They run Lavelle and ITT and the bugging of the National Committee. And frankly, they said they're coming to all that time touching me with it, huh?
That's bugging. Yeah,
it wasn't the funniest thing.
That was just so stupid, but it's the pattern is clear.
I'm going to assume we're not talking about tourism.
Oh, I'm sure we are.
It's fire.
But Larry O'Brien, somebody told me this weekend that Larry O'Brien called, who the hell was it? I think Larry O'Brien called Stuart Alsop and asked him whether Stuart had picked up anything about his future from McGovern. No, that Larry O'Brien doesn't know. Apparently Stuart Alsop had a talk with McGovern. Larry O'Brien called him afterwards to find out whether McGovern gave Stuart any clue about what he intended to do with Larry O'Brien. So I don't think O'Brien is too much clued into what's going on. I'm sure they think, but
I am too. It's not us. We don't know what anything. The trouble is everything in this shop leaks. Everything. You know that.
But it's
ours is terrible. But I thought what I was saying last week digressed. I don't think the Lavelle stuff rubbed off here yet. But I want to keep it away if I can, but I don't want to hurt an innocent man. you happen to see the Post article written by some asshole from the Washington Post saying that McGovern's defense policy is just like Eisenhower's? That is so goddamn ridiculous. Massive retaliation is a totally credible policy if you're looking down the other guy's throat. Massive retaliation means massive suicide if the other guy is looking down your throat.
It means that, that
you've got no policy.
Even in the victim, Mr. President, there were many of us who were writing articles about the long-term trend of massive retaliation. Even then, and then the funny thing is, all the Democrats are screaming against massive retaliation.
Well, they said they have
limited war capability.
Yeah.
If you have massive retaliation, you're giving, in the present condition, you're giving up your allies. You're renouncing any influence. We couldn't have done Jordan, we couldn't be doing Vietnam, we couldn't have, we'd have absolutely no foreign policy except against an attack on the United States, and even that may not be.
Proposed that you do a film on the medium or towards. This is clear.
question, because otherwise, if he said we'll stand by the president, or we're not going to have their foreign policy on Henry, there's going to be a possibility.
Mr. President, if he did the modicum of what a patriotic American would do and say, we will not overthrow an allied leader. After all, this isn't 68, we're not talking about bombing, we're not talking about American casualties. If he supported the basic position that we won't overthrow an allied leader, that there's a limit to what we'll concede, you'd be out of the war by September.
But he's saying, elect me, and the day I'm inaugurated, we're out of Vietnam.
That's
well,
right.
Christ, but
well, out of Vietnam by accepting the other side's terms.
Oh,
when Eisenhower went to Korea, well, as you said the other day.
Oh, but Eisenhower, when people say, you know, when Cho and I says, Eisenhower set the example of how to end the war, he forgets Korea is divided.
I told him that.
He forgets, Christ.
I don't
want him to do that today.
I told him that exactly in those words. I said, Mr. Prime Minister, that was a very intriguing remark, because maybe there's a misunderstanding. We are willing to settle on those terms.
Immediately.
He said, no, no, conditions are different. But that is a disgraceful thing. On Vietnam, I think it would be a disaster for us to go on the defensive only. Vietnam, we have to go on the offensive.
That will be our major foreign policy issue. Major points, basically, will be Vietnam. There are some who Humphreys, of course, strongly urged them not to make foreign policy an issue, and they are not taking that. But McGovern will make defense spending and Vietnam the major issue as far as foreign policy is concerned. And the way he'll do is he'll next pledge to end the war, and then the war fought. That's about all they do.
I would say to that the reason we haven't ended the war.
Johnson's true by our true Johnson's true by the
and Peking wants you to win. So that in this sense,
we think so.
Peking are positive of Moscow. I don't really quite understand why they're so eager for you to win. But Peking, I know why they want you to win, because without you, they have no policy at all.
You say they have no major friend in the world.
They can screw around with the Europeans, but the Europeans...
Tomorrow you have George Ball writing articles in the New York Times magazine saying that the China first policy is better.
Exactly.
Just that the Times will write it. Our liberal friends, Henry, aren't as smart as they think. They were smart, they wouldn't be doing that, but they would actually be playing right to our hands.
So Peking cannot be interested in Hanoi's strategy of bringing you down. They cannot be interested in that. Moscow, for some reason, partly because they think you're tough, but at least you can be dealt with, also apparently have made the decision that you should win, because, as I told you on the telephone, you told Brezhnev at the last meeting that it would help you to get this agricultural deal.
Yeah.
He's now sending the first deputy prime minister over with full authority to negotiate an agricultural deal, but he wants it done quietly so that it can be sprung suddenly now. That he wouldn't do unless this is going to be a big plus for you. And in itself, there's a hell of a lot in it for them. They can get Canadian wheat. It isn't just the food. The timing, they could control. And then they're giving us a pretty good present. The Soviet Union has reported my press conference, as you saw, on the ground that we are in favor of a negotiated settlement. I was sort of trapped by Rogers' airport statement into giving
too far.
Well, no, Rogers said there's no sign whatever.
That's what I meant. His went too far, so you had to bring it back.
I had to bring it back, but I had to support him. They asked me, do you support Rogers' statement?
I know exactly what you're
saying. Because if I had done it on my own, I would never have said it.
Yeah.
I would have created a great mystery, giving the impression that things were moving without saying so.
Yeah, your statement was carried very well. The sons of bitches know something's moving.
Yeah.
They don't like to, put yourself in the position, Henry, of the Washington, of our critics in the Washington Press Corps. You must talk to quite a few of them. Aren't they practically living in the press office?
That is exactly.
You must talk to them at some point. What do they?
Well, they don't know what to say. Because basically, do it out something. I went to see him the other day because, you know, he's dying of leukemia. So on Saturday, I went out to his farm just to make him feel good. He said, this president is going to go down in history as one of the great presidents. And he said he just hopes he'll live long enough so that he can vote for you. It'd be the first Republican vote he ever. And he said that. What is it about the president that you words you can say his foreign policy is unassailable? You said I hate it. It's him or us.
Yeah.
And that expresses the view. And when they say they hate you, what they mean is that you're impervious to the Georgetown set, to the establishment. And in that sense, it is you.
See, there, as I often told you, you'll never hear one of the lips say they hate cold water.
Yeah.
You notice that?
Yeah.
They never say it.
Because you...
They see, the point is, too, they hate for another very subtle reason. If I were, frankly, as erratic and sometimes stupid as cold water is, they wouldn't hate me. But what irritates the bastards is that we often said we're always a step ahead of them. They are intellectual bigotist prigs. And when they see somebody who is against them,
and break that whole establishment.
You know who?
Where is Clifford, Vance? They're all going to be overage. They're all going to be out bald. They're all going to be totally outstripped by events. By 1976, you can have created a new establishment. They know damn well that if you don't end the war in Vietnam this year, you'll have it ended by the end of next year.
Oh, hell, it'll be ended this year. If we win the election till the end of the year, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It's over. It's over.
The war is basically over. That's right.
Here it is now.
Oh, yeah.
You know that.
You have won the war. The only...
You know, son of a bitch, were you dead?
If we had put this effort into Lansing, we would have won the last.
Let me ask one other thing.
That's where we
can Arvin do any... There's nothing, no way that you can get Arvin off their ass to do more.
No, they're attacking this week. They've got a big offensive.
But, yeah, I noticed. Well...
But I don't believe it.
I can read the news some reason. So that, of course, you can't hear it. It's Larry Stern. He's a bad son of a bitch. Has he always been bad?
Mr. President, if we win in Vietnam, 99.9% of the press corps will have to eat their words.
That's it.
Yesterday I was leafing through some magazines. I had saved the Time and Newsweek.
Mm-hmm. Or the Week of Defeat.
Or the Spectre of Defeat. But they both had the covers and they both said it's the total collapse of the Nixon foreign policy on Vietnam. 4 years later, just as we predicted, it's going to collapse and blah, blah, blah. Not one is now saying that it's going well. They're not saying it's going badly, but I'm talking about the war in Vietnam. But on the foreign policy, on the whole, no one is really prepared to tackle you. They'll hit Vietnam, they'll hit Vietnam a bit. The defense, but the
you know, for him to be tied, I mean, I didn't disagree at all with what he said.
The legends,
but he tied it the wrong way. Henry, as you know, if they cut the defense budget to zilch, the rest of the defense budget, the agreements we reached in Moscow are good for us in and of themselves.
Of course.
That's my point. Because on the offensive side, it limits them in areas they're building, and it doesn't, and it limits us in areas we're not building.
Mr. President, let's face it, the whole thing was tactically stupid.
Yeah.
He should not have asked for an increase in strategic forces now.
Yeah.
What he should have done is ask for every cent of the existing strategic programs, which would have gotten us till January. In January, you would have been reelected. You could have asked for whatever you wanted, and you would have been in good shape. Or you would not have been reelected. It doesn't make any damn difference what he asks for now, because McGovern is going to cut it.
Yeah.
It was tactically a mistake.
But I think we have saved it by.
I think you've saved it very well.
We've walked around now, but let's keep it all, Henry, on the idea that, you know, look, you and I are also conservative. But I think just as well to keep the goddamn that does be befuddled by saying, look, they're destroying the chance for the great next step. And they are.
Well, Mr. President, they all had favorable
comments. One thing I agree with your name, Sebastian Stuzer, point out that without ABM, it would have been so hot when they hated them.
That's right. I think, that testimony over the East Room, that played very well. Even though, in effect, both you and I said exactly what Laird was saying, in a slightly different way.
It's the emphasis.
We just didn't do it so belligerently.
The thing is that everybody, a lot of security of the United States will be served by this agreement. The security of the United States, which is, of course, the subject we're concerned about, not an agreement, the Zeitman agreement, the security of the United States. The security of the United States will also be served by continuing an adequate offensive program in areas not presently limited. That's all you need to say, period.
Exactly.
And then say, now, gentlemen, that's by each of his own merits.
Exactly. Absolutely. And that's all that's needed.
Well,
and,
look at the hell of time we had to put together a defense policy after what we were left by McNamara.
Yeah.
Now, our defense policy is in hell of shape.
But once you pull out of Europe, once you have shown your total unreliability, you can never gain it back.
Don't be a bit concerned about billing it, because it'll be a hell Well, you're not.